the Book of Judges. It's a tale of chaos unleashed, of violence unchained, and of a moral compass spinning wildly out of control. Ancient Israel's story? Perhaps. But as we peel back the pages, we'll find a mirror reflecting our own tumultuous times. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Sound familiar? Well, join us over the next few weeks as we study the Book of Judges, ancient wisdom for modern chaos. Our story begins now. Great, well, we've got two readings this evening because we're going to look at the bit just before Jephthah and a bit just after him. And as you'll see, these things help us to focus in on some of the big lessons that we ought to be seeing as we come to the story of Jephthah in the middle that we spent 3 weeks looking at. So if you want to turn to Judges chapter 10, and then we'll turn to Judges 12 after that. Judges chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. After the time of Abimelech, a man of Issachar named Tola, son of Puah, the son of Dodo, rose to save Israel. He lived in Shamir, in the hill country of Ephraim. He led Israel for 23 years, and then he died and was buried in Shamir. He was followed by Jair of Gilead, who led Israel for 22 years. He had 30 sons who rode 30 donkeys. They controlled 30 towns in Gilead, and to this day are called Havoth Yair. When Yair died, he was buried in Canaan. We're going to jump forward to Judges chapter 12, verses 8 to 15. So this is after Jephthah. After him, Ibzan of Bethlehem led Israel. He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. He gave his daughters away in marriage to those outside his clan. And for his sons, he brought in 30 young women as wives from outside his clan. Ibzan led Israel for 7 years. Then Ibzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon, the Zebulunite, led Israel for 10 years. Then Elon died and was buried in Elon, in the land of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel, from Pirathon, led Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons. He rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel for 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died and was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. We don't often stop to think about it, but one day, people are going to gather at our funerals. What are they going to do? Well, they're going to share stories. They're going to laugh at old memories. And they're going to reflect, aren't they, on what mattered most about our lives. What will they say? What quiet, unseen moments are they going to remember? Here's our question for this evening. How will you be remembered? I mean, we all want to leave a mark, don't we? We all want to know that our lives meant something. That when people talk about us, it's not just, oh, they were successful. Oh, they had a lot of followers on social media. I mean, we want more than that, don't we? But how does that actually happen? Surprisingly, the Book of Judges gives us a striking answer. You see, these stories of these ancient leaders reveal something crucial about legacy, about how we're remembered. If you've been following us through the Book of Judges, you'll know by now they're not just a random collection of stories. They are deliberate. They are layered. And if you step back, you see it's a puzzle. It's like every piece matters. Take Yair, for instance. Well, he has 30 sons, 30 donkeys, and 30 cities. It's actually a joke in the Hebrew. We can explain that later. But strangely, as you can see on the screen there, it matches up with other people in the story, like Abdon. On Tola's story, well, Tola connects us back to his grandparents, and then Abdon on the other side connects us to his grandsons. And you can see there on the screen, right in the middle, Jephthah. So as we're focusing in on these minor judge stories this evening, it's as if the writer is tapping us on the shoulder and saying, look a bit closer. These details matter. That's what we're going to do this evening. We're going to step into these stories, look at these names that we might overlook. The only time I've heard some of these names is when I'm talking to Christian couples trying to find a name for their children. As Elon now has other connotations, I guess. But they help us to ask the question, don't they? How will you be remembered? That's what these stories are highlighting. Each one is a memory of that person. And how our choices, they ripple, don't they? They ripple through time. They impact our past, our present, and our future. You can think of your life like a tree. It's actually quite a judge's thing to do. If you remember what happened with Abimelech, we were talking about trees then. It's a very judge's thing to think about trees. So you could say, what kind of tree are you growing? Because just like a tree, there are three parts, aren't there? There's the roots, there's the trunk, and there's the fruit. Just turn with me to Judges 2 verse 10. Judges 2 verse 10 is really important for the book of Judges. It helps us understand the whole thing. Just have a look what it says. After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. If you remember back to where we were in Judges 2, that is all it took. Three generations. From faith to forgetfulness. From devotion to desertion. And that isn't just about forgetting facts. It's about rejecting the entire spiritual heritage. See, they didn't just forget God's stories. The people of Israel, well, they chose to ignore them. And as we've worked our way through Judges, God has kept reminding them over and over. Remember the Exodus? Silence. Remember how I rescued you? Crickets. Israel's memory seems to be shorter than a goldfish. See, they aren't just forgetful. They are deliberately ignoring it. And as we've seen through Judges, when you ignore your history, you don't just lose knowledge, you lose your identity. This generation we're looking at here has lost its roots. And when the roots are weak, you only have to look at the tree outside this morning, when the roots are weak, well, the trunk, it struggles to stand. Look at me to Judges 3 verse 4. Judges 3 verse 4, we're told that God deliberately left some of the land unconquered. Why? Verse 4, they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. Would Israel choose faithfulness or would Israel choose compromise? And the book of Judges puts it plain and simple for us, doesn't it? They choose compromise. And the issue with compromise is it doesn't just affect you, well, it shapes the next generation as well. As we saw vividly last week, it leads ultimately to destruction. So what do these so-called minor judges, Tola, Yair, Abdon, Elon and Ibzan, have to teach us in 21st century Hemel Hempstead? How do their stories speak into our lives, shall we see? Well, firstly, we're going to talk about roots. You see, just as a tree can only grow as deep as its roots allow, well, our legacy depends on how we're grounded. These stories highlight the important lesson of learning from the past. A rooted legacy, you might say. The Bible tells us the past matters. See, these aren't just dusty stories. They're living lessons. When we forget, when we lose more than memory, when we lose our roots. When our roots are shallow, our legacy is easily washed away by the winds of compromise. So in 1 Corinthians 10, we're told this. These stories of Israel, this helps us read the Old Testament, happened as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. These past stories aren't just information, they are instruction, warning us where compromise leads, teaching us how and where faithfulness thrives. Let's have a look down at Tola, Judges 10 verse 1. I mean, there's a judge you could easily skip over, isn't there? But there is something remarkable about him. In a book where genealogy is so often ignored, Tola gets defined by his family. Did you see? Have a look down at Judges 10, 1 to 2. After the time of Abimelech, a man of Issachar named Tola, son of Puah, the son of Dodo, rose to save Israel. He lived in Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim. He led Israel for 23 years, then he died and was buried in Shamir. Did you spot? His granddad gets a shout out. Now, let me tell you, that's rare in Judges. Tola is anchored. His identity is rooted in where he comes from. His past is connected to him. Now, think about Jephthah, where you've been the last few weeks. What are we told about Jephthah? Well, his story is painful, isn't it? His mother, a prostitute, an outcast. His brothers, his enemies. His father, well, either he's got the vaguest name possible, or they're just saying it's the region of Gilead, someone somewhere in this land. Jephthah's past is a complete blank space. And isn't that exactly what was happening with Israel? They had a history, sure, but they were acting as if it didn't matter. Throughout Judges, God kept reminding them of the story, of the Exodus, of Joshua's victory, but they simply aren't listening. Even Jephthah himself, in chapter 11, he retells Israel's history, but he's lost the meaning. He knows the facts, but the heart has gone. It's as if it's some dry history that has been adapted to fit the narrative of culture around him. And it's a picture, isn't it, of what happens when we treat our own spiritual history the same way. In fact, it's really easy to do the same, isn't it? To know the Bible stories, but to miss the meaning. To turn Sunday club into nice stories for the kids. To listen to the sermon, but then just leave at the door as you leave. Judges shows us where that path leads. History shows us where that path leads. Around us shows us where that path leads. See, when we forget the greater Exodus, that is the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, when we sever ourselves from the root, when we downplay the gospel, that is the moment that churches start dying. That is the moment when people's faith starts to drift. See, these stories, they're not just history. They're mirrors, they're warnings. They're invitations to listen, to learn, to change. The roots matter. So the question is, are we listening to that? Because those things should cause us to make choices in the present, which cause us to stand strong today. See, roots alone, they don't just make the tree. The trunk, how we stand today, that's what people see, isn't it? And here's the sobering reality that we see in these stories. Well, Israel's leaders are crumbling. If you were to take all these judges as one group, you'll notice something striking. There's a slow and steady decline. Let's go back to Tola, Judges 10, verse 2. How long did he lead Israel for? He led Israel for 23 years. Then let's go down to the next one, verse 3. He led Israel for 22 years. Skip forward to chapter 12. Something shifts here. Look down at 12, verse 9. 12, verse 9. How long does he go for? Well, Ibzan had 7 years. Then Elon, well, he has 10. And then Abdon, he has 8. And Jephthah, right in the middle. How long does he get? Do you remember? 6. Do you see it? The candle is burning out. So we're going through Judges. It's going downhill. Leadership is getting shorter and shorter. Impact is fading. Israel is rotting from the inside. But there is something important. There's one thing about Jephthah we are told to actually copy. Hebrews chapter 11, you remember this? The author of Hebrews, as he says, what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Jephthah gets a mention there, do you see? Now, that isn't a free pass for everything Jephthah did, let's be clear. We cannot excuse his terrible choices. But in one moment, when a small army of Gileadites faced the massive forces of Ammon, well, Jephthah showed remarkable faith. It's really interesting, the people that get chosen there. Did you spot them? All of the selections are from the last half of Judges, at the time when Israel as a whole were getting worse and worse. And these men stood out. You might have thought the earlier judges would fit in here, but no. These stood against the odds, stood against those around them, stood against staggering forces to bring deliverance. They're all examples of people who stood strong when things seemed impossible. That is what Hebrews wants us to emulate. Those glimmers of faith in a dark backdrop. Yet sadly, that's not the whole of Jephthah's legacy, is it? Jephthah made other decisions in the present that affect how he's remembered. And there's a thread all the way through Judges that it might be easy to miss at first, but once you see it, you can't unsee it. The spiritual health of Israel isn't just seen in its leaders. It's seen in how the men treat the women. Have you spotted that as we've gone through? I mean, Jephthah's a great example, isn't he? Let's just take a quick tour. Judges chapter 1, we meet a lady called Aksa, Judges 1 verse 12. She gets treated well. And Israel does what it should, exemplified by Caleb and then by Othniel, the first of our judges. Judges chapter 1, the women seem to be honoured and cared for. We see the start of a family. We see a woman who seeks blessing from her father, and her father gives it to her abundantly. But as we progress, we see the men slipping in their responsibility. Barak and Deborah, for example. And in that story, what happens? Well, the victory, the killing of the bad guy, is done by a woman called Yael. As Barak, he rushes in, doesn't he, at the end, to save the damsel in distress, to find out that she's already dispatched the villain. Then you carry on to Gideon. Gideon had multiple wives. I mean, that's demeaning, isn't it? And then he had a concubine, just to boot. And then we get Abimelech, the concubine's son, killing the women and the children of Shechem until a certain woman happens to drop a stone on his head and he's gone. And then Judges chapter 11, we get Jephthah and his daughter, don't we? And let me warn you now, that's only the beginning. Very soon after this, we get Samson and his use of women. We then get the Levite's concubine. Then we get the women of Benjamin. And it gets worse from there as well. You could tell the story of Judges. You could tell the decline, the downgrade of Judges through the stories of women. One author of Judges says this. The manner in which men treat women serves as a spiritual barometer of a nation, a society, a church, or a family. Isn't that what we see today? I mean, we don't want to land where some people do and say Judges proves it's always the men's fault. But there is something to be said that as society walks away from God, the people who get hurt most, get hurt first, are the women. Just think about it for a moment. Abortion. The murder of unborn babies, let's say what it is. It affects more baby girls than baby boys. Let alone the damage it does to the mother. Transgender ideology. We've seen it this week in the news, haven't we? Affects negatively more women than men. You don't get the women trying to compete in the men's sports, do you? Modern slavery. Women and girls make up 71% of the victims of global modern slavery. Flowing from the effects of the Garden of Eden, really, where the man abdicated his responsibility to the woman in his care. The manner in which men treat women serves as a spiritual barometer of a nation, a society, a church, and a family. And Judges shows us. See, Jephthah, he had a moment of great faith, but his legacy was tainted by self-serving choices. Just turn me to Judges 12, verse 9, to Ibzan. Just notice what gets highlighted by Ibzan. Do you see it? He had 30 sons and 30 daughters. The text actually highlights the daughters word there. It wants us to notice the daughters and the daughters-in-law. Compare that to the previous person we've been talking about. How many daughters did Jephthah have? One, and then none. It's a story of compromise, isn't it? So the question for us, are we standing strong in faith or are we crumbling under compromise in the things we're doing now? And the final thing to see, just as a tree is known by its fruit, well, legacy is measured by what remains. So bearing lasting fruit. Because in the end, our legacy isn't just what we do, it's what we leave behind. Let's go back to Jer, Judges 10, verses 4 and 5. He had 30 sons who rode 30 donkeys. They controlled 30 towns in Gilead, which to this day are called Havoth Yair. When Yair died, he was buried in Kemon. 30 sons, 30 donkeys, 30 towns. All named Havoth Yair, literally meaning the towns of Yair. He didn't just live, he left something behind. And on the other side of Jephthah, there's Ibzan. His sons and daughters highlighted, they're part of his legacy. And then you get Elon, chapter 12, verse 11. Elon the Zebulunites led Israel for 10 years. Then Elon died and was buried in, well, you meant to pronounce it similar to Elon, in the land of Zebulun. His burial place is linked to his name. There's a memory that lingers there. And most clearly, verses 13 and 15, Abdon. After him, Abdon, son of Hillel from Pirathon, led Israel. He had 40 sons, 30 grandsons, who rode on 70 donkeys. He led Israel for 8 years. Then Abdon, son of Hillel, died and was buried at Pirathon in Ephraim, in the hill country of the Amalekites. 70 donkeys, 70 descendants, a future focus. Now remember, these all focus us in on Jephthah. Just contrast that with him. Judges 11, verse 2. His brothers said to him, "You are not going to get any inheritance in our family because you are the son of another woman." And those words came true, didn't they? No future. His daughter, remember, his only daughter, dies childless. His inheritance completely wiped out. His final mention, Judges 12, verse 7, Jephthah led Israel for 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in a town in Gilead. Compared to the other judges, there's no town named after him. There's no children to continue his name. There's not even a clear burial site. Jephthah's legacy, it stands out like a sore thumb. It's where the product of idolatry leads. It leads nowhere. See, Jephthah was told he would never have an inheritance. His only daughter died childless. No town named after him. No legacy to speak of. Jephthah's fleeting moment of recognition is all that remains. A legacy that's marred by choices that sought fame over faithfulness. Contrast that with the legacy we're called to build, eh? Is that going to be your story? When your story is told, when your race is run, what are the people going to remember? Are they going to remember a momentary burst of applause? Or are they going to recall a life marked by steadfast faith, genuine care? See, even small, ordinary moments are a chance to build a legacy. How you care for the vulnerable. How you choose to use your words. How you live out God's ways in your family, in your workplace, in your community. All those choices add up. Fame is as fleeting as a shadow at noon. It appears, it dazzles, and then it's gone. Faithfulness is built day by day, moment by moment, until it becomes a lasting monument to God's truth in your life. You have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And it's kept in heaven for you. And that promise is anchored in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. A promise that outlasts the transient accolade of this world. So again, are you chasing a reputation that's going to vanish like mist? Or are you investing in a legacy of faithfulness through all the storms of life? Are you going to be a tree planted by living water, deeply rooted, standing strong, bearing fruit? Or are you going to be like one of these judges who, in their pursuit of fleeting fame, ended up uprooted and infamous? The choice is yours. Fame is fleeting. Faithfulness lasts forever. Every choice you make builds a legacy. And when your time here is done, may it be a story of one who steadfastly held to the faith. A life that truly mattered, built on our past in the Lord Jesus, our future inheritance, and our lives right now. That's what these minor judges have to teach us. So shall we turn and pray and discuss on our tables? Let's do that now. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Any questions can be sent to podcast@david-couch.com. I'll see you again next time.